Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
And I'm Brock Martin.
And today we are talking about all things first date. This time. Thomas, so you brought this topic up because of a niece of yours has gone on some first dates and came back with some interesting stories.
Yep, she will remain nameless. I have a lot of nieces, so that's the good news. But it was interesting just kind of observing. I wasn't observed. What is wrong with me?
You were observing the date?
It's interesting.
Wait, were you on the first date? Is that why they didn't go
I was
well?
The chauffeur. Yeah, it was interesting just talking to her and debriefing and hearing how it went. And I just thought, you know, first dates are tough, I think, especially for guys that aren't as relationally driven. And dating just period, I think, stinks. So I thought this would be a neat topic to walk through some stuff. Not that I did it great or anything like that, but I think looking back, you can kind of see we have wisdom now in our age, especially me in terms of age. So that, yeah, let's walk through a few things. Okay. My first one was conversation. You know, I think data shows, I don't think this is surprising anyone, that people like to talk about themselves. And that can be good and bad because you can talk way too much about yourself. And so that's the first kind of sub point on conversation is the young lady probably wants to get to know you. So try to divulge a little bit. And again, there's a lot you can divulge that's not appropriate on a first date, but she does want to get to know you. So talk a little bit about yourself. If she's asking you questions, engage in that, share some things, let her get to know you. Right? You guys following me on that?
Totally.
When the experience was, the guy just was maybe one word answers, one sentence answers, and then just kind of let it stop.
Yeah, boring.
It's like air traffic controller of the conversation as well as a pilot in it, right? Like you're absolutely engaged in the conversation, but you're also the one responsible for the conversation.
I like that, Steve. Yeah.
If she's the only one asking questions, like you're sucking at your role. You got to be engaged in that conversation as well, and you've got to make sure the flow of those questions are coming at the right time and you're not just taking hard right turns, you know, where you're talking about family stuff and all of a sudden you move into like what sport's your favorite sport.
Yeah.
Now also, if you're only asking questions and not giving her a chance to come in and to ask questions, you're not doing it right either. So that's where the air traffic controller has to come in. You've got to make sure that flow is balanced. But I like what you said there, Thomas, that on the first date, I think some Catholic guys who are like super excited to get married are super serious about every date being the last first date of their life. They might overshare. And I just want to caution that. I just want to caution oversharing where you're not talking about all your father wounds in first date or all of your sexual sins of the past on your first date.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or making it an inquisition of her, right?
Yeah,
if you're trying to find
exactly.
The perfect...
It's not an interview.
Yep, yeah. The incarnation of Our Lady, you know, the second time kind of a thing that's this perfect woman. But I don't know, Steve, did that analogy of the air traffic controller, did that just come to you?
Yeah, that was like right that now. Was, how do you feel
so
about
talented.
That?
That's unbelievable.
Gosh, thanks, guys.
I do like that vision though, because yeah, you should be initiating. You should be kind of the conductor in service of the experience, right? Not as a commander, not as a domineer, but just because you want her to have a comfort level getting understanding some of who you are, but also the opportunity to share some of who she is. So yeah, you should engage her in some of those questions. And women are better at this naturally, typically. So you know, you got to be attentive to that and have a good conversation. So
what I love about the air traffic controller analogy is that it does imply that there is still intentionality though. Right. So I totally agree with you that we don't want to be oversharing, diving into the deepest recesses of your hearts. But I think it is important to remember that the purpose of a date of dating is ultimately geared towards discerning whether or not you're called to marriage. And so I'm 100% with you. There's a tension you got to hold between, hey, I don't want to go 0 to 60 in terms of the levels and depths of my heart that I'm sharing, but I also want to be getting to know her on things that are important. I don't just want to stay at what's your favorite sports team, what's your favorite dessert. Some of those things can be helpful as you're kind of wading into the conversation. But I do think that, you know, when you're thinking about ultimately what I'm trying to figure out by dating this girl is am I called to marry her? Are we called to be married to each other? And so there is like air traffic control, there's intentionality, but I'm 100% with you. You got to be careful with how and what the depth of that intentionality.
Yeah. So I don't disagree with you, but but we're talking about the first date, not the second, third, 20th date, right? So as much as I agree that dating is about courtship and discernment and things like that, it doesn't, all of that doesn't have to happen in the first date, right? Like the first date is, hey, is there chemistry here? Hey, are there any absolutely like big red flag deal breaker, you know, things going on? But it's
does she have an OnlyFans page? Those kinds of things.
Yeah. You can find this out with some of those questions. Like there can definitely be a deal breaker that comes out on the first date. And absolutely. That's by with your intentionality, you're kind of like at the surface, kind of starting to see, are there red flags?
Yep. But I think I'm also a strong proponent on at least two dates. And I'm thinking through this as I'm saying it. Mm. I mean, I
see.
Is that because you got rejected so many times?
No, I had 7 first dates by my wife. Yeah.
I think that's interesting, Steve, on two dates. There is something to that because a first date can be really awkward. There's that pressure. Maybe you bumbled through some, you know, some questionings. Maybe you had a bad night because you were tired that morning. Something happened in your life or hers. And so I think that's, if there's not some crazy red flags that come up, which would just be like, that would be dumb to have a second date.
Yeah.
Maybe a second date just gives you another chance to be at a different comfort level. You've kind of got a little bit of that awkwardness out. And now you can keep going. And so that's interesting. I'm not opposed to that idea either, given at least two dates. Again, unless this is assuming we're talking about a context of you really don't know this person. Yeah. So this isn't like a friend that you've hung out with. That's a totally different kind of conversation of what that looks like. This is just someone that you've just met, really don't know. And so I don't know, Brock, are you a fan of try two dates?
I think as a, you know, maybe as a general rule of thumb, I do think that there are going to be some first dates you go on where you're like, there's no way a second date is, I've learned in the first hour and a half we spent with each other, this is probably not going to go.
What do you think would constitute that? What would be something?
Well, I think you mentioned one. I think if you find out she's got an OnlyFans page, or if you find out that she's like in her life moving away from religion and from a relationship with God, I think if you find out that she's got ways that she spends her time in hobbies or different things that she's engaged in, that you're like, you know what? This is not worth me. I'm not going on a rescue mission to try to save this woman's soul. I went on a date to try to figure out, could this be someone that I enjoy spending time with and want to get to know more? But I don't think those are going to be the exception, not the rule. I think most of the time you're not going to get stuff like that revealed in a first date. And so generally speaking, I think I'm a fan.
Hopefully you knew you had a decent filter to get on a first date.
Yeah.
And some of those extremes. So would there be something that's less extreme? Like, maybe she's drifting away from the Catholic Church, or somehow it comes up the way she wants to live her life, her lifestyle with parenting, with certain things that just are like, ooh, that's weird. And they might not. And that's why I think Steve's point on the second date might be the right MO, just to try to go in thinking, I'll get at least a couple of dates unless something crazy comes up.
Yeah, I think there's a filter before even the first date, right? Like, unless you're finding these girls on some secular hookup dating app or website, you're most likely going to find out some of the basics that would be these like immediate red flag deal breakers. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the first date for me, I think it's about chemistry more than anything rather than content. So this is, do you enjoy being around that person? Okay. So Dr. Tim Gray gave me this way to think about when I hire people. He said, Steve, it's all about the airport test. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he said, if you get stuck in the airport with this person, would that be an exciting time for you or a dreadful time for you? And I was like, oh my gosh, Tim, that is brilliant. And it's the same like with this. If you go on a first date and you could put them through the airport test, that if your flight got canceled and you're in the airport for 8 hours with them, is that going to be awful or is that going to be great? That's what I mean by chemistry is, are you naturally enjoying being around each other? Do you make each other laugh? Is it easy to talk to them? Are they attractive to you? They have to be attractive to you.
We're on the same page, 100%. And the one caveat with the airport test is I think there probably are some introverts listening who are like, I'm not sure there's a human being that
I don't want to be around anyone. they're called the religious life.
Yeah. No, but I think you were kind of starting to get there, Steve. Like what are the questions you're trying to answer with a first and maybe a second date? And I think we're totally aligned. It's like, do I enjoy spending time with them? When we leave, am I bummed that I'm not getting more time with them? Did I think they were funny? Did I enjoy listening to them and getting to know them more? Am I attracted to them? Do I enjoy hearing more about their life? Those types of things, I think, those are the questions you're trying to answer with a first and second date. And so for that reason, yeah, I think we're on the same
page. Sweet.
Okay, so conversation, I think, was what we were going after on that. So yeah. Steve, the great analogy of the air traffic controller, the conductor, whatever you want to go with that, try to be intentional. Engage her, but also share a little bit about you and not just, wow, my favorite color is red. Don't talk about that for 10 minutes. A little bit, divulge a little bit about yourself, but be prudent, right? Because you shouldn't vomit all your vulnerabilities on that first day. That's just not appropriate and will probably freak her out and should freak her out. What else should we consider? The venue? Do you take her to dinner? Do you take her to ice cream? Do you take her to drinks? Do you go bowling? Like, what?
Not
do you
a
do?
Movie. Don't do not a many. Freaking movie.
Okay. Okay. That's good advice.
I mean, you're trying to get to know this person, right?
So yes, you don't
want to take them to a movie. Yeah, you want to talk. So I would say an environment to have a conversation and, again, to kind of see if that chemistry is there.
Yeah, I think.
Brock, what
I think,
were you thinking?
I think drinks are great. You know, we were talking a little bit before we hit record that sometimes that drinks can be even a less intimidating first date. Because if it is really awful, you don't have the 2-hour commitment of a dinner, and so I think
or the bill,
yeah, that's totally true. I do think that the venue though it is important. Like you want to find places that aren't crazy loud, that you actually do have the ability to listen, to make eye contact, to engage, to begin to hear and encounter the person that's in front of you. You know, that could be bowling, that could be a nice restaurant, that could be a place where you can go and sit for drinks.
The venue you talked about, the crazy loud, I think TVs is also
TVs,
a really
TVs, I was going to say that too. Again, take her to a Buffalo Wild Wings for crying
out right,
loud.
Exactly. Like, and pull out your phone. Another young lady, another maybe the same, it doesn't matter. And he was staring at the TV. So she sat, when they got to the table, she sat to where she was seeing the TV, so it wasn't tempting him. But if you're taking a young lady out, don't be staring at the TV. Try to even find a place if you can, and it's hard these days, but try to find a place that's not going to have TVs everywhere.
Yeah.
And so even like going, if it's nice enough out, you could walk, go to a coffee shop, go, you know, something where you can go for, you can walk. And for men, that's easier to have a conversation when you're physically moving.
Yeah. I like grab a cup of coffee and go on a walk in a park. I think that's a great first date. I was going to say about the TV thing, and for the guys who are already married, I still do this where if we go to restaurants, I put my back to the TV so that I can pay attention to my wife. Or if it's like a really kind of busy, crowded restaurant where it's great people watching, I'll put my back to the action so that I don't get distracted even by looking at just like what's going on in the place. So even if I'm looking at my wife and then a wall, I would rather have that view and be, you know, completely present than be distracted the whole time. So
I love that. That's awesome.
Okay. So pick a good place where you can have a good conversation, and it doesn't have to be dinner. If that's the cultural kind of a pressure point that you need to take her out to a nice dinner, I don't think that's the case. You probably don't want to take her to McDonald's if you do choose to do dinner, you know, but it's okay to have I don't want to say mediocre. What would you say? If you go to dinner, it doesn't have to be a fancy place. And if that's the right move, great. But somewhere that you can actually talk to the girl. So,
yeah, I think one of the big areas I'd love to explore with you guys is just like basic chivalry manners, like date etiquette for guys. Because I think there, you know, in our culture, as it's gotten more and more secular, I do think some of those old chivalrous habits are actually kind of like turning into faux pas. Like even the concept of guys picking up the bill and having the expectation that guys would pick up the bill. I know there's a big trend, especially amongst young couples, of going Dutch and splitting the bill. But those little things, I think, Steve, you were already hinting at one with like having your back to the action. I think that can actually fall into the etiquette genre. But what are some basic first date, second date etiquette tips that we can give the guys?
Opening the doors. I mean, this is simple, but we'll just go through it all. Open the door for her, obviously, to any building you walk into. If you're in the same car, what do you guys think of this? Should you offer to pick her up? Or just meet her? What do you think is more, is there one that's more appropriate for a first date for someone you don't really know?
That's a great question, Thomas. Brock and I are both looking at each other like, I don't know if I have the answer. It might depend on the situation. So if you're in the same dorm, or if the dorms are next door, or if we're talking about apartments, if we're talking across town, I think there's a lot of factors that could go into that. I'm not sure there's a black and white answer to that.
Yep.
So with opening the doors, I'm 1,000% in agreement with that. We've had other podcasts about that. what I'm not in favor of is like this overly chivalrous, awkward, where you're like in the car and you're like, stay right there so I can run around the car and open the door for you. Like, she can get out of the car by herself, you know, but when you go to get in the car, go open the car door for her and let her in. But don't be super awkward thinking you have to like force her to stay in the car to run around the car and open the door outside either.
That's a great point. Yeah. I think it's fun to, go ahead, Rob. On the picking her up versus meeting her, I'm with Steve. I think there's probably some principles. Like if the drive is more than 20 minutes, it's probably the courteous thing to do to offer to pick her up. But if you guys are like, it's less than 10, 15 minutes away, I think meeting someplace is totally fine. And then I would also just second, the effort to be chivalrous can sometimes be a detriment if it actually makes it awkward and you're putting her in a weird situation. And so find ways to do that smoothly and seamlessly. And it doesn't look like you're making this huge effort. It's just what you do naturally. That I think is really attractive to ladies when this is just an overflow of who you are.
I like trying to figure out, not that you want to get her address, because that could be kind of weird. She could be uncomfortable. There's just a lot of violence out there. Sexual violence and various things. So for women to be kind of a little cautious is not a bad thing. So I would just say, what general part of town are you in? And let's find something that's really close to you and maybe you engage her in that. That could be just a fun initial conversation on the phone of just, you know, you have a favorite coffee shop by you. Like, well, let's just meet there. And then meeting there, I think, is probably a better default. Again, it's not black and white, like I said, but I think, again, for her, just for her comfort level and safety level, you know, she's trying to get to know you and understand who you are, unless it's like your best friend set you up and it's obvious, like, oh, this guy's, you know, nothing's wrong with this guy. Then you could offer to maybe pick her up.
I love that. I love that because it actually, you're convincing me because it kind of reminds me of something in evangelization. I think a lot of times when we're trying to win people over, we constantly invite them into our space, into what we're comfortable with, into the things that we enjoy doing. And what you just mentioned, like, hey, what part of town, what's a coffee shop you like? I think that's an initial effort that a man can make to say, I'm actually going to leave my comfort zone and go meet you in yours. And so that I'm like taking the initial step of getting out of my space and entering into yours. That I think that principle, it also applies in evangelization, but I think it's totally true for dating too, that as you're getting to know somebody, you actually are going to make it easier for you to get to know them if you leave what's comfortable for you and things that you know really well and actually just enter into the things that they know well and the places that she's familiar with. And, you know, we're talking about maybe bowling or the driving range or different activities you could do. If there's something she enjoys doing, I think it'd be totally, totally normal to have that first date or second date be in the space that she is comfortable and like does things well or has a lot of experience with, because I think that's an opportunity for us to leave our comfort zone and create an environment where they do feel comfortable and they're used to things and able to be honest about who they are and all that stuff. So love
that. Yeah, I dig all that. Another thing that guys I think that they need to do based on stupid rom-com movies is like go super surprise creative first date. And the reason I would might throw a caution flag to that is, let's say you surprise this like this girl with a big hike and you show up and she has a really bad knee or she's not in shape to do something like that. That could put her in a really uncomfortable situation. And so that might be a second or third date after you get to know her hobbies and interests, where you can like kind of create this super cool, creative second or third date, because now you know there's chemistry there. You're trying to win her over. You've learned about her and her interests. And now you can do something fun like that. But on the first date, if you go to a bar and she doesn't drink, or if she has maybe a drinking struggles, that probably isn't prudent, right? Yeah. So, or if you go bowling and she's like, actually, I broke my wrist when I was in middle school and it doesn't bend. Like, that's really awkward. So think about some of the practicals that you might be putting her in a situation in if you're going for like full surprise mode on date one.
I love that, Steve. And it's kind of to your principle of you, I guess both of you, making her feel comfortable is the priority, not you. Mm-hmm. If you do end up picking her up, I would say my opinion would be do not walk her to her door unless it's some weird apart, like there's a maze and it's not safe, something, you know, but if it's just she's at a house, drop her off. You could wait. Hey, I'll wait until you get in. If it's night and dark, that could be chivalrous, but I would say don't walk her to her door. I don't know if you guys have a pushback.
Well, I think that kind of, I know we're kind of running out of time, but I'd love to maybe at least broach the subject of just like physical boundaries, especially on a first or second date. You know, a lot of young guys, and I certainly asked myself this question early on, like how far is too far? I think the walking her to the door is kind of starting to move in that direction. And so I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on what are some tips on physical affection and obviously, yeah, PDA, that type of thing for those first couple dates. What are the bumpers we should be playing in?
I would say zero touching. Don't even hold her hand. You don't know this girl. Second date, you still don't know this girl. What the hell would you be touching her for? You know, like it's just no absolute reason. If you want to make love to the girl, that's great that you're attracted to her, but that is not the place. We know this. I don't think I'm shocking anyone that's listening. It's man Catholic. We, you know, it's for marriage. And so, you know, and if you're tempted to, that's all the more, just don't touch her. I mean, if you want to give her a little hug, make it the side hug thing, but I would say hands off, because it's playing with fire and you want to preserve that.
Yeah, I agree. And I would also turn down any situations that could lead to something. So Even if she's like, hey, drinks was fun, why don't we go back to my place and watch a movie? Thanks, but no thanks. Get yourself out of that situation pronto, because that'll just lead to a dark room, sitting on a couch under a blanket, and nothing good happens in that situation,
right?
Unless you're married. And then
only
lots
good
of things. Good things.
Yeah.
So be careful about what situations you're putting yourself in that would lead towards any kind of physical, you know, touching.
Yeah, I think that's good. I don't know if I would go quite as far on the like, don't touch her. Like I could see scenarios where it's like you guys are walking into the restaurant and you like put your hand on her back or like pulling her chair out. You could like touch her. So I don't know. I think that kind of militantly saying like, I can't touch you because it's,
yeah, I'm a fist bump guy, you know, at the end of the date, like a fist bump. Just kidding. No, I'm okay with like a hug at the end of the date, like especially if both people enjoyed it. And especially also, I'm totally a proponent right after the first date, like, hey, can I call you again?
Yeah.
Or, hey, would you be interested in mm-hmm. another date? And if she says yes, then it's like, great, have a good night. And you give her a hug. I don't see anything wrong with that, because now you have expressed intention. You've been direct. She has reciprocated the intention behind that. I don't see anything wrong with
a quick
hug. I'm not talking about a long embrace,
yep,
right?
Yep.
I'm not talking about a long embrace.
No, a little hug, fine. But my
point
is, if
you ask for a second date and she gives it to you, you can give her a hug goodnight.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's a point to it, you know, and if it's a simple like, hey, you're really cool, this was fun, hug, fine. Mm-hmm. But it's just, especially guys are physical, so I think it can just start to get us warmed up and loosened up. And
that's
so
why
I think
it's not
just
a long hug, and we all know the difference between that.
Yep.
We all know the difference between a quick goodnight hug and a long hug at the door.
Amen. I think, hey, on the chivalry thing, I think a guy should pay the bill. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep, great.
I was just going to say shortly, I totally, even though I push back a little bit on the no physical touch whatsoever, I do think that the principle of men are just far more susceptible, like the on-ramp to getting sexually aroused is a very quick one, especially for young.
And we have to be the leaders too. We have to be the leaders. We are not, you are not a man if you're following her when it comes to like physical intimacy.
Yeah.
If you're like testing her boundaries and seeing what she's going to react to or respond to, you need to not be dating until you're man enough to lead that charge and to know the boundaries and to actually take control and show her, I'm willing to treat you like a lady every step of the way, all the way into and in marriage. I will be that man for you. I will be that knight in shining armor.
Okay. Last question that I have for the two of you is, and Steve, you were kind of hinting at this with the like, hey, would you be open to a second date? I think there's a ton of like cultural norms out there about like, how long do you wait to text them or call them? Or is it 2 days? Is it 3 days? And I think a bunch of that stuff is kind of bull crap. And I just would love to hear, okay, let's say the date went really well, or in the case that the date didn't go really well, what should be some standards for how we communicate that to the ladies after this first or second date?
I think it's okay. I think Steve, you kind of scripted it to say, hey, I'd love to hang out again. I think that's more than appropriate. If it's like, hey, can we hang out tomorrow? You know, maybe it's a few days later or later that week or something, or it could be, hey, I'd love to call you in a few days. Are you okay with that? If you think you want to be a little softer and not go right for the second date, because that means if she's like, yeah, sure, you'll probably get a second date, and she knows that's coming. So I like your point, Brock, to not be too worried about it, but I think you want her to be able to process the experience too. But if it seems like it's going really well, and I think it's okay to ask for a second date, definitely okay to say, hey, can I call you in a couple of days?
Yeah.
And see how she responds.
Yeah. Again, guys, the ball's in your court here. You've got to be the quarterback, the leader. And so if you're not willing to ask for that second date or to just like say goodnight and then text her a couple days later, like man up and ask for the second date, whether it's a couple days later over a call or at the end of that first date, put your neck on the line here and be ready for whatever she answers. And she might say, you know, I really enjoyed our time, but I'm not sure this is a good fit. Okay, cool. Then move on. You got to move, you know.
No, Steve, that's a good point. I think don't, again, maybe I could be convinced otherwise, but I would say, don't just say goodnight. That was nice. Say, hey, I'd love to call you in a few days or I'd love to go out again later on if you're up for that. I think
unless you know that there's not going to be a second date, right? So you don't want to lead her on either. You've got to be honest and say, hey, I really appreciated your time. It was good to get to know you. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Yeah. And that's to your point of be the leader in the situation. Yep. Yep.
I think it's especially true when we don't want to continue dating or going on more dates. I think my wife is one of seven girls. She's got six sisters. And so I hear a lot of the like first dates and all the like, I just think that women, especially after a first date or two, are thinking about this stuff way more than we are as guys. Like we kind of leave the date like, hey, that was awesome. That was really cool. I can't wait to like spend some time with her. Now I'm going to call my bros and tell them about it. Like, but I think the girls actually spend a lot of time thinking through and like replaying conversations in their head. And so I think if you don't want to go on a second date, that goodbye, like, hey, can I give you a call in a couple of days? And then actually call her in a couple of days and say, hey, I'm not planning on going out on another date. Maybe we can spend some time in a group later on. Or, hey, I really want to appreciate, thank you for the time. I don't think I see this going anywhere. I think something of that nature to actually communicate that. Because what is totally bullcrap right now is that a lot of men, when they go on a first date or a second date, this whole concept of ghosting somebody is the most immature, unmasculine, like really pathetic way to end that experience. Yeah. And so I just really want to challenge men in particular, if you go on this date or two and you realize you don't want to continue dating them, like you got to communicate that because you put.
Yeah. And I would even say sooner than later, I would say even after like the night of the first date, don't give her a couple days to think it's going somewhere and then call her and say, hey, just in case you didn't pick up on it, this isn't going anywhere. You know, like be direct at the end of that first date. Like, hey, I really enjoyed getting to know you. I don't see this going anywhere. I don't know what to say to that, but you need to say something like, maybe we can get together with friends sometime.
Okay, Steve, hold on. Do you say, and I know we're going to run out of time, it's going long. If you don't ask her for another encounter, like, hey, I'd love to call you, or hey, I'd love to go out again, is it just inferred, hey, thanks for your time, that's it, it's not going anywhere? Do you have to say after one date, I will not call you again? Because I'm not sure on that one. I think if you want to see her again, you should tell her in that moment, like I already said, or if you want to talk to her again,
It might be a reading of the room. If it's mutual that like, sparks weren't flying, I don't know if you need to say anything. If you're picking up that she's trying to make out with you and stuff,
and you're
not
into
her, you might need to say something, right?
Yeah,
because you need to be a man.
Brock's typical problem, right?
That's it for all things first date. Hopefully you learned a tip or two, even the married guys, and we'll catch you next time on the Man Catholic Podcast. God bless.